Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Tensions between Russia and the West rise after Moscow claims four regions of Ukraine. And Ian makes landfall again, this time as a Category 1 storm in South Carolina. Plus, U.S. lawmakers on break until the midterms go all in on campaigning.
I think there's a lot of people who are still engaged, who are still out knocking on doors.
It's Friday, September 30th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Hurricane Ian made landfall for a second time near Georgetown, South Carolina, after wreaking havoc in Florida earlier this week. The National Hurricane Center has warned of a possible storm surge of up to 7 feet along a 100-mile stretch of coastline from just north of Charleston to the North Carolina border. The storm is projected to move into North Carolina, then dissipate over the weekend near the border of North Carolina and Virginia. Meanwhile, in Florida, authorities have confirmed at least 21 people dead and say the death toll is likely to rise as rescuers make their way into the hardest-hit communities. You can find our continuing coverage and updates on Ian on our website, WSJ.com. As we previewed this morning, Russian President Vladimir Putin has signed treaties to annex four regions of eastern and southern Ukraine, prompting swift condemnation by the West. The move comes after the results of referendums that Kyiv and the West dismissed as a sham. During a press conference today, Secretary of State Antony Blinken called the annexations a violation of the United Nations Charter and international law.
No one is fooled by what Moscow has done. The world saw the way Russia conducted these so-called referendum, with Russian occupation forces going door to door and forcing Ukrainian citizens to cast their ballots at gunpoint. The entire process around these sham referenda was a complete farce.
In response, the U.S. today imposed new sanctions on Russian lawmakers, as well as top government and military officials and defense procurement companies. EU officials are also discussing new sanctions. President Biden has signed a stopgap bill to keep the U.S. government funded through mid-December, according to a White House official. The House voted to approve the bill today after Senate passage yesterday. The vote is the last major action from Congress before lawmakers return home for the month of October, ahead of the midterm elections. We'll have more on how they're working to get out the vote in their home states coming up in just a few minutes. U.S. household spending rose by 0.4% this August, according to the Commerce Department, as consumers dug deeper into their wallets to pay for essentials. Spending on services like rent, utilities, transportation, and health picked up, while spending on goods declined for the second straight month as gas prices fell. Following a dip in spending in July, the new report is a sign that high inflation has become more entrenched in the overall economy. Markets wavered on that data, ultimately ending the day, the month, and the quarter down. It's the third straight quarter of declines for the major U.S. stock indexes. The Nasdaq fared the best, but was still down 4.1%. The Dow fell 6.7% for the quarter, and the S&P 500 lost 5.3%. Our markets reporter, Karen Langley, has more on the turbulent quarter.
Investors started out enjoying a summertime rally that at one point cut the S&P 500's yearly losses in half before fizzling out and seeing stocks turn lower again. Investors have really been wrestling with the fact that inflation has remained so high and that the Federal Reserve is clearly committed to trying to get that inflation under control by raising interest rates, even if those higher interest rates end up threatening economic growth.
Karen says so far, investors aren't too optimistic about a quick turnaround for stocks.
There's no sign that this really high inflation is about to dissipate. And even if it did, we don't know how the big interest rate increases that the Fed has already put in place are going to affect the economy going forward. Monetary tightening operates at a bit of a lag, so we just haven't really seen the full effects of how those higher rates are going to affect the decisions that businesses and consumers make.
And Altria says it's ending its non-compete agreement with e-cigarette maker Juul, in which it's invested nearly $13 billion and still holds a 35% stake. Juul is in a battle with the Food and Drug Administration about whether its products can remain on the U.S. market. An Altria spokesman said the decision to end the non-compete deal will give the company more flexibility in the marketplace. But our business reporter, Jennifer Maloney, says Altria could face some challenges ahead, depending on how it decides to move forward.
If Altria decides to go the route of developing its own products, that could take years before they're actually on the market in the U.S. Alternatively, it could seek to buy an e-cigarette brand that already has authorization from the FDA, but there are very few products that so far have received FDA authorization. So it's a really challenging landscape right now for vaping in the U.S.
A Juul spokesman says Altria's decision gives it more options to secure its business. Coming up, lawmakers go on recess and ramp up campaigning. More on the major issues and how each party is appealing to voters after the break.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Lawmakers are leaving Congress this weekend for the last 5 full weeks until the midterm elections on November 8th. Now they're kicking their campaigns into high gear, knocking on doors, rallying, and blasting ads. A moment before they got going in earnest, our DC audio reporter Daniela Cheslow spoke with some of them on Capitol Hill, and she joins me now. Hi, Daniela.
Hey, Anne-Marie.
So, Daniela, you spent the day on Capitol Hill yesterday. What was the mood like?
Yeah, Anne-Marie, my colleague Natalie Andrews, she covers Congress for the Journal. She and I focused on the House. This is where Democrats are trying to hold on to a very slim majority. Democrats have 221 seats. Republicans have 212, two vacancies. So we spoke to lawmakers from both parties. And I want to start with Democrat Kim Schreier. She's in one of the most competitive races. This is Washington State's 8th District, the Seattle area. Schreier is a pro-choice Democrat, but she rolled out of the gate talking about economic issues and how she's fighting rising costs by sponsoring bills to cap the price of insulin and gas. And she says Democratic policies blunted the impact of the pandemic.
Democratic spending rescued our economy, kept families afloat, kept small businesses afloat, and were key to our country's economic recovery and rebound, which was faster than virtually any other country in the world.
And this is a tack Democrats are taking nationally. The House Democratic leadership has been touting its legislative wins. The Inflation Reduction Act that extends subsidies for health insurance and incentivizes climate action. The CHIPS Act that boosts semiconductor manufacturing. $1 trillion in infrastructure spending. They say they're getting things done.
And how are Republican candidates responding to that?
Republicans say Democratic spending is not the solution, it's the problem. California Republican Mike Garcia, he's in the suburbs of Los Angeles. He says his constituents were already suffering from high costs of living and the nation's highest gas prices, and then inflation just turned the screws. And while Democrats tout their policies, he says they're the cause of inflation.
Inflation was triggered primarily by the America Rescue Plan, the $1.9 trillion, what we refer to as the original sin of inflation.
That's a claim some economists have disputed in our paper, saying supply chain problems, Federal Reserve policy, Russia's invasion of Ukraine have all played a large role. Still, it's a point Republicans are hammering and one that resonates with voters who see higher prices at the grocery store, at the gas pump, and pretty much everywhere.
And our recent WSJ poll showed that the economy was the number one issue voters care about. Number two is abortion after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. How are the candidates responding to that issue?
Democrats are counting on abortion to fire up their base in what could have been a low turnout midterm vote. In August, we saw Kansas voters defeat a proposed amendment to the state constitution that would have ended protections for abortions. Charisse Davids is a vulnerable Democrat in the 3rd District of Kansas, and she says the energy from that vote, it went 60% against the amendment. The energy from that vote continues.
I think that there are a lot of people who
at least for my race, I think there's a lot of people who are still engaged, who are still out knocking on doors.
In Washington State, Congresswoman Schreier says abortion is motivating her voters, too. And her opponent, Republican Matt Larkin, says he favors banning most abortions. Here's Schreier.
Women are fired up about the gall of politicians to tell them what they can and cannot do with their bodies.
So, Daniela, are Republicans making this a campaign focus?
The nonpartisan Cook Political Report says abortion is a force that could help Democrats keep the majority. Republicans aren't backtracking on their positions against abortion rights, but they do try to shift the focus. Mike Garcia of California signed on to an amicus brief to support overturning Roe, and he told me he had no regrets. His Democratic opponent, Christy Smith, says she would codify reproductive rights in Congress. And every California voter will have this issue in mind because of Proposition 1, which would enshrine abortion rights into the state's constitution. Here's Garcia.
The state voters are going to have a chance if their issue is abortion, whether it's pro-choice, pro-life. They're going to have an opportunity to have their voice heard with this this Proposition 1. But more importantly, they're going to have an opportunity to have their voice heard when it comes to security, about the economy, national security, and just making sure that we're pulling this country out of the nosedive. And that will be the congressional races.
One of the issues Republicans often speak about is security. How are Democrats responding to that amid a rise in crime that we're seeing?
That's right. Violent crime did soar in the U.S. during the pandemic. We've reported it's both in major cities and in rural communities. Mikey Sherrill is a Democrat in New Jersey's 11th district. This is one of the wealthiest areas in the country. She told me people have been telling her about rising crime, including a wave of car thefts.
They want to know that their houses are safe and people aren't going to be stealing their cars or, worse, breaking into their homes to get keys to steal their cars. But they also want to know that they're going to be treated fairly by law enforcement.
You can hear there, she's trying to hit a balance. Remember after the police killing of George Floyd in 2020, some Democrats joined activists in calling to defund the police. Congress tried and failed twice to overhaul police tactics and accountability. Now, as crime rates rise, Republicans are blaming Democrats for weakening police. We just saw House Democrats pass a bill to increase police funding, but Republicans call it an election stunt since there's no time for it to pass the Senate. One new GOP voice on security is Myra Flores. She's a Mexican-born immigrant. She's married to a Border Patrol agent, and she flipped the 34th district in Texas in a June special election. Let's hear her comments on the steps of the Capitol on Thursday.
I can say that the situation we find ourselves in today, both as a nation and as a community, is disturbing. The status quo cannot stand. We have borders that are being overrun with people and drugs, of which are benefiting drug cartels and human smugglers.
And I think her comments speak to a wider effort by the GOP to court Latino voters on issues like security and the economy. It's an effort that both parties acknowledge is yielding results.
Daniela, our most recent WSJ poll showed that President Biden is at a 54% disapproval rating. What did you hear from Democrats on how that might affect their chances?
The Democrats Natalie and I spoke to tried to distance themselves from Biden. They told us they're running on their own records and the records speak for themselves. Republicans say Biden's low numbers will make it easier for them to take the House. Here's David Schweikert of Arizona.
Oh, I think it's a crushing liability. And you see that in the data. And we actually see this a lot in my polling in Arizona. A sense of nervousness about his competence, and let alone his policy sets.
There's also another president influencing these elections, and that's former Commander-in-Chief Donald Trump. Schweikert got Trump's endorsement in the GOP primary in Arizona, but it's unclear if that endorsement is going to help or harm him and other candidates like him in the general vote. What is clear is that we really haven't seen much of the season. The Congressional Leadership Fund, backed by House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy, has raised close to $190 million, but they've only spent about a third of that war chest. The House Majority PAC, backed by Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, raised nearly $100 million, and they've only spent a fifth of their total. Each party's campaign committee also has more than $100 million on hand. So buckle up, because the real campaign storm is just getting started.
That's Daniela Cheslow, Wall Street Journal audio reporter in Washington, D.C. Thank you so much, Daniela.
Thank you, Anne-Marie.
And finally, for a long time, owning a Peloton was a bit of a status symbol, a high-end item that you couldn't just get anywhere. You had to go directly to the company to get one. The bike maker's reputation was cemented during the pandemic when high demand from everybody working at home cleared out the company's inventory. But now, with demand drying up, the bikes are becoming a lot less hard to get. Last month, the company started selling its bikes on Amazon, and this week it said they'll be available at Dick's Sporting Goods, the first time Peloton will sell its equipment at a physical store outside of its own showrooms. Our consumer products reporter Sharon Turlup says the company's had to shift strategies to stay relevant.
You know, over the last year, as people have kind of returned to the gyms and their regular lifestyle, that they need to be a little less exclusive and they need more customers. And so being sold at, you know, in a sporting goods store where you might just find somebody who's not a Peloton fan. They may just be, you know, a person who wants to, you know, to get an exercise bike and they might stumble on a Peloton.
And that's what's news for this week. Our hosts are me, Anne-Marie Fertoli, and Luke Vargas. The show was produced by Anthony Bansi and Mohsen Ali, with help from Kate Bullivant, Daniela Cheslow, Zoe Thomas, and J.R. Whalen, and editorial support from Kateri Yoakum, Michael Kosmides, and Chris Sinsley. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. We'll be back on Monday morning. Thanks for listening.